All right, well, good morning again, and welcome to All Saints and to this joyous morning. It is a privilege for us to be here together today and to give thanks for all the ways that God has been at work already through Grace and Peace, and to formally send them out and to celebrate with them as they begin worship next week as a new community. We'll have plenty of time following the service to continue to meet and greet each other, get to know each other, and to celebrate together. Tim asked the question, why are we planting a church? Why are we doing this now? And to more fully answer that question, we're going to look at John chapter 20 together this morning. Hear God's word from the Gospel of John. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, Lord Christ. Lord, we do praise you for this portion of your word, and we ask that we might see it clearly today, and in seeing it, we might see Jesus high and lifted up. In his name we pray, amen. Well, this gospel narrative that we just read can be looked at from many different angles, but this morning I want us to answer two questions. How did the Father send the Son? And how does the Son send us? How did the Father send the Son? And how does the Son send us? First, how does the Father send the Son? Well, he sent him to seek the good of others. Over and over again in the Gospel of John, we have stories of Jesus present with people, pursuing people, seeking their good. In John chapter 2, the Father sends the Son to celebrate and serve at a wedding. As this couple experiences the shame and the embarrassment of running out of wine, Jesus is present with them to love and serve them in their need. In John chapter 4, the Father sends the Son to a well to meet with a woman in need of true relationship, true love, true acceptance. And as she unveils the shame of having 5 failed marriages, Christ is present to love her, to accept her, to offer to her living water. In John chapter 5, the Father sends the Son to a pool to restore a man that has been crippled for 38 years. He explains that nobody else has ever helped him to get into these healing waters, but Christ is present with him. And he powerfully and graciously heals and restores this man's body. In John chapter 6, the Father sends the Son to teach and to instruct a large crowd. And at the end of the day, this crowd is hungry and in need of food, and Jesus miraculously provides for them bread and fish. In John chapter 9, the Father sends the Son to a man born blind. Jesus not only heals him, but also receives him into his community of disciples after the religious leaders have spurned him and rejected him and put him out of their fellowship. In John chapter 11, the Father sends the Son to the tomb of Lazarus, and Jesus powerfully and miraculously and graciously brings him back to life, restoring him to life and restoring his family to the joy and celebration of having their brother. And then in John chapter 21, the Father sends a son to a beach to restore his disciples following their desertion, and Jesus graciously receives them, and he lovingly forgives them, especially Peter. And he recommissions them to be fishers of men. He re-entrusts a new work to them. Over and over and over again in the life of Jesus, the Father sends the Son to seek the good of others. Over and over again, Jesus is present with others in their need in their shame, in their worries, in their hopes and dreams and fears, to give them the good they desperately need. But we see the Father sending the Son most clearly and most convincingly when the Father sends the Son to the cross. On the cross, Jesus gives to his people the very good that they desperately need, his very self, his very life. And so the cross of Christ is the completion and the perfection of the good that the Father sent the Son to accomplish in his world. But we see another aspect of the Father sending the Son in the story and life of Jesus. He sent the Son to receive goodness from others, to receive the gifts and the graces of others. Over and over again in the story of Jesus, we see him receiving these gifts and graces and using them in and for his kingdom purposes. In John 2, at this wedding, he receives the gifts of the servant. He receives their water. He receives their work. And he uses it to bring feasting and joy and life once again to this couple. In John chapter 4, he receives insight from the women at the well and redirects it, re-expands it, so that her understanding of God and his work in the world might be larger. He doesn't immediately correct her. He doesn't immediately rebuke her for her misunderstanding or for her lifestyle or for her erroneous theology, but he graciously receives her and welcomes her to participate in his story and in his mission in the world. In John chapter 5, he receives a small gift of 5 loaves and 2 fish from a little boy. And he uses that gift and also his disciples' care and service of others to bring to others what they need, nourishment, sustenance, and life. And he tells them that he is the true and the living bread. In John 9, he receives the man born blind and he sends him out as an apostle, as a sent one, as a disciple, to be part of his story. He uses him, even in his brokenness, even in his shame. He uses him, even in the simplicity of his message. I was blind, and now I see. To extend and to expand his story and mission in the world. In John 11, Jesus receives the pain, the suffering, the mourning, the disappointment, the loss of Lazarus' family. And he enters into their suffering. He weeps along with them. And he is deeply moved and greatly troubled in their pain and in their suffering. And he brings life and light out of the deep, dark grave. And in John chapter 21, Jesus receives the fish that his disciples have caught. And he uses it to cook breakfast for them. He gathers them around a table to strengthen them and to nourish them, using what they've brought to him to equip them for the work that he has entrusted to them. And so over and over again in Jesus' life, we see him receiving the gifts and the graces and the goodness of people. But we see this most clearly in his death and resurrection. In John chapter 12, Jesus receives the gift of Mary's expensive perfume, the gift that she lavishly spends, lavishly wastes on Jesus to prepare him for his burial. And in John 19, he receives the gift of Joseph of Arimathea and the gift of Nicodemus as they take Jesus' body from the cross and as they give him a proper burial. He accepts all their work, their spices, their linens, their ointments, as he rests in the grave, preparing for a glorious rebirth. The Father sent the Son to seek the good of others, and the Father sent the Son to receive gifts from others. So with all these powerful stories, with all these powerful examples in the mind of his disciples, Jesus, on the first night of his resurrection, in that upper room, he commissions them to go and do likewise. He says, as the Father sent me to all these people and to all these places to give and to receive, so I am sending you. And he blesses them and he gives them the Holy Spirit so they might have power to do his work, to continue his story. Friends, the church is a sent community called to live and to embody the mission and the story of Jesus in the world. The Son, over and over again, in the power of the Holy Spirit, sends us. And where does the Son send us? Well, he sends us to all the same places that the Father sent the Son. He sends us to weddings. He sends us to funerals. He sends us to hospitals. He sends us to feasts and to celebrations. The Son, over and over again, in the power of the Holy Spirit, sends us to people just like the Father sent him, to the weak, to the wounded, to the wandering, to the sick, to the struggling, to the broken, to the bruised. And the Son, in the power of the Spirit, over and over again, sends us to all types of different people, to singles, to married couples, to those divorced, to those suffering and to those struggling, to those strong and to those successful. The Son sends us to all these places and to all these people and to all these situations in order that we might seek their good and in order that we might receive their gifts. Over and over again, the Son sends us to people and situations in need of real good in this world, in need of real life, in need of real joy, in need of real love. And so the church is to be continually marked as a community that seeks the good of others, just as Jesus sought the good of others. And so grace and peace, all saints, as we reflect on this passage together, as you go out to seek the good of those around you, seek their good in countless and creative ways. Seek their good in lavish and costly ways, because the Father has sought your good in sending the Son to you. Seek the good of others. And over again, in our life together at All Saints, in your life together at Grace and Peace, receive goodness from others. Receive the gifts and the graces of the people that the Son sends to you. Use the people that God entrusts to you. Use their gifts and their talents and their resources wisely, generously, sacrificially. Allow them to become part of the story. Allow them to participate in your life together. Receive their gifts with great joy and great thanksgiving. The Father sent the Son to seek the good of others. The Father sent the Son to receive gifts from others. And as the Father sent the Son, so even now, this day, in the power of the Holy Spirit, the Son is sending you. Go out from this place and seek the good of others in creative, in costly, in countless ways. And go out from this place and receive the gifts of others as you continually embody the Son's story in your life together. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're amazed at your goodness and grace to us, that you've sent your one and only Son, the Son whom you love, to give and to receive. Lord, we're amazed that this is most full and most complete in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And we're amazed that his story continues through us. So Lord, as individuals, as families, as a collective body, may we be people who are marked by receiving your goodness, by over and over and over again receiving the gift of your Son. And may we be marked as people who seek the good of others, that our lives might be spent for the sake of others, so that they might know true joy and true life and true restoration. All this we pray in the name of your beloved Son, our risen and reigning Lord. Amen.